So, how long before this internet thing catches on?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It is a subtle, if terse, rebuke from the Federal Communications Commission to high-speed internet providers all across the country. The FCC is expected this week to release a report saying broadband access is not being made to Americans in a, quote, reasonable and timely fashion, end quote. Now, the agency figures between 14 and 24 million people don't have access to broadband. Cecilia Kong is a tech reporter for The Washington Post. She's with us live from D.C. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Steve.
Now, the FCC says providers aren't boosting their networks all across the country. Are you surprised by this?
You know, I'm not surprised in that there's a lot of pressure right now, and there's a lot of effort within the federal government to make broadband the underlying infrastructure and communications tool for the nation, and we're falling behind the rest of the world. We're like in many different rankings, way down, 16, 17, 20 in some rankings, as far as good quality, fast, robust broadband network deployment goes. So I'm not surprised. And as a consumer, you feel it. Capacity is tight sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's a lot of territory to cover and a lot of people to cover too in this country. So I mean, are they taking that into account?
Sure. The U.S. definitely has its own challenges. It's different than Japan, where it's much more densely populated. It's a small size, and in South Korea, for example. But this still, it's been 11 years since the FCC started tracking how well Internet service providers are bringing out broadband. And still today, this is the first time the FCC said they're not doing a good enough job, which shows that they've had some time. There's been a lot of obstacles, and it's a complicated problem, but there's also a lot of money that these companies are making.
How would the money be better spent? I mean, what else could the country be doing to proliferate broadband coverage?
Sure. You know, Washington's a little bit mixed up in its messaging. They care a lot about broadband, the federal government, the Federal Communications Commission, but it's still pouring $8 billion a year into a phone fund. That's the plain old phone lines that go into your home, copper wire. And some of that money goes to wireless service as well. And that's coming from that monthly charge that everyone gets on their long-distance bills and their cell phones, $2 a month, $3 a month, around $2 to $3 a month, that goes into an $8 billion fund for phones. So on the one hand, they're saying we want broadband to get out to everyone, those 14 to 24 million Americans who don't have it today. That's really fast and good quality. But we're also pouring still billions of dollars into the oldest communication tool there is, plain old phones.
Plain old phone lines. And this, of course, is, dial up where you hear the noise and all of that. It sounds like a fax machine, right? And I mean, is the cure here or the relief? I mean, is it fiber optics? Is it bigger pipes? I mean, what is it?
Well, I think it's a mix. There's definitely a role for wireless cell phones. There's a role for satellite. Harbinger SkyTerra, for example, announced today that with Nokia, they're going to launch a satellite and cell phone network to sell to the other businesses. That's really advancing forward. It's a combination of fiber, and it's also a combination of DSL as well. I mean, there's a need and a use for all these different technologies. It's just trying to solve that problem of getting everyone covered, and everyone covered with good enough quality and fast enough speed networks.
Cecilia Kong, tech reporter for The Washington Post. Cecilia, thanks.
Thank you.
Interesting conversation. Let's check the numbers. Yeah, markets are down right now. The Dow is off about 82 points, 0.8% at 10,071, just above that 10,000 mark. The NASDAQ off nearly 1%. The S&P about 0.5% right now. Everybody's down. Europe's down, too, between 0.25% and 0.5% as well. Asian shares were mixed today. The Nikkei was off about 1%. We got word from the Commerce Department that home construction fell by 5% in June. That's its lowest level since October. But building permits rose, and that's a sign of future activity.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Yesterday, we told you about so-called medical tourism to uninsured Americans, the idea of going to a foreign country to get medical treatment cheaper than you can get here. Well, now some insurance companies here in the United States are hoping to send patients overseas. And as reporter Kevin Ferguson explains, they're appealing directly to employers.
Just after the health care bill became law, David Boucher's phone really started to ring. David is CEO of a company called Companion Global Healthcare. It's an offshoot of Blue Cross. His company works in the medical tourism industry, sending Americans with jobs and insurance to foreign hospitals. Patients get otherwise expensive procedures done in places like India and Costa Rica, usually at a fraction of the cost of their employers.
You know, I will tell you, we've had more requests for information from employers in the first quarter of 2010 than we had all in 2009.
Employers like Blue Lake Casino in Northern California joined on in 2008. Jack Norton runs their HR department.
Health reform is, to me, it's a goal of reducing medical cost, and I haven't seen any significant strategy that has the potential to reduce cost like medical tourism.
It can pay off for the employees, too. If a patient opts to go abroad, they won't pay a cent. No deductible, no copay. They even get a free trip. In fact, employees of Norton's company will actually make money, 10% of whatever the company saved. So say if they head overseas for a heart bypass and save the casino $50,000.
We're offering the patient a $5,000 savings stipend.
But getting the patient on the plane is a different story. Stephen Wallace is a health policy professor at UCLA. He says that while bosses love the idea, employees still need a lot of convincing.
People want to be close to home when they get really sick. Being in a foreign land, even if it's a Hilton Hotel type of setting, is still distressing when you don't have family nearby.
Patients also worry they won't be able to sue should something go wrong. Those concerns could be why not a single employee at Blue Lake Casino has volunteered for a procedure overseas. But that might soon change. Norton himself needs knee surgery, and he's in talks with doctors everywhere, just not here in the U.S. I'm Kevin Ferguson for Marketplace.
To hear all of Kevin's report, check out our website, marketplace.org. Finally, David Arik lost his job as a Wall Street lawyer at the height of the financial crisis. He couldn't find another job, so he created a new cupcake bakery that caters to men. Arik's shop features the Elvis with peanut butter, banana, and crushed bacon inside, even a cupcake that features beer. Business has taken off, but oddly, most of his customers are women. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.